Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything nutrition, fitness and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode, we're going to cover about basically how to go through your month in November and make it your month. This is probably one of my favorite episodes so far because we're going to cover everything from the fitness, nutrition and mindset all in one episode. So my blog post that I put up last week, I talked about how this is probably the best month of the year to start something new or give something else up, because there's not a whole else going on. It's one of those months that just the evenings are short, you know, the mornings are dark, there's not a lot of events. It's kind of that little bit of limbo in between Halloween and Christmas where you're kind of just waiting for the time to pass, which is an amazing position to be in because it means that you can set yourself up with, you know, a new habit or regimen or something that's going to support you becoming a better version of you, or else you can kick an old one because there's nothing distracting you. I talked about a story in my blog post last week about how when I was teaching in London, so for those of you who've been following me a while, you know my background was I was a primary school teacher for 4 years while I started my business on the side and then eventually ran my own business full time, where I'm lucky enough to have what I call a non-job now, where my life and my job are one and the same, and I've got a team of people who are just incredible that I get to work with. But when I worked as a primary school teacher, I remember that there was always this thing amongst the older teachers that November was the quote-unquote teaching month. It was the month that we used to get so much done, and I didn't really understand it for my first couple of years, and it was true. It happened every November, and the time would spin round and the kids' test scores would go up. Their attention seemed to be so much better and their focus was so much better. And I didn't understand it, and it was said, and then in, you know, sitting in staff rooms and sitting in meetings, people would be like, okay, well, this is the month now, we're going to get up the test scores and bring up this child and bring up the whole, cover this section of whatever topic we were covering at the time. And I didn't really get it, and I was like, okay, I'm not doing anything differently myself. I was like, I'm teaching the same way as I've always taught, I'm preparing my lessons as I always prepared them. But yet the productivity was better. The kids were learning more. And then I was sitting in the in a staff room one November's day, and I remember it was as close to November as you could see. It was cold and wintry and wet outside. And I was talking to one of the teachers who was a year away from retiring. She was a lovely older woman. And she turned to me and she was like, of course, this is the month that they'll get work done. She goes, there's nothing shagging else going on. And I'll never forget, it kind of pierced through my brain and I went, oh, of course. I was like, there's a lack of distraction. I was like, there's no getting things ready for Halloween. There's no Christmas rehearsals. There's no plays. There's just a genuine lack of distraction. And it made me think then, of course, as I've said in my blog post, one of my favorite things is human psychology. I love, why do we do the things that we do? And why do we think the way that we think? And trying to understand the why on that. And it led to this inevitable chicken and egg debate in my own head going, okay, am I teaching more because I'm less distracted and can focus more on what we're doing, or are the kids learning more because they're less distracted, that there's no rehearsals or no getting ready for Halloween? And then again, there is no right or wrong answer. I'm sure it's a combination of both, but it made me think that we all do this come November time. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, a 9 or 10 year old kid in the school or a teacher working in a classroom. We all do this in November. We don't have any distractions. There's nothing to take away our distraction from different events, different parties that we're normally always getting ready for. We can just kind of knuckle down and focus. So November is a really, really powerful time to either start a new habit and do something that you love or something that you want to incorporate into your life to make your life better, or is an amazing time to kick an old habit. So today's episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about how to integrate some new habits in that you want to do. So if you want to get fitter, healthier, start eating right, what kind of things that you can apply there that are going to support you moving forward. And if you're trying to kick some old habits, I'm going to share some things that have worked specifically well with me over the years and how I've kicked some pretty bad habits and what I've done that supported me. The first thing I'm going to dive straight into is basically how to kick an old habit, because I know I put up a video on YouTube, I can't remember when I set up my YouTube page first, and it was talking about quitting smoking and overeating, because they're very, very similarly linked. Anything that has that kind of excessive vice in your brain, whether it's overeating, whether it's smoking, whether it's whatever is very, very similar. The way your brain is affected, your serotonin, your dopamines, your cue trigger reward with habits are all very similar. And that was a really, really popular video. It was actually one of the videos that launched my Facebook page and got me up into the thousands for the first time ever when I started my page first a few years ago. But basically, there's things that have supported me. Now, I've never smoked. I was never a smoker. It was never something that I got into. But I did have problems with food. I had massive problems with overeating and control. So I understand the feeling of being out of control with smoking and cigarettes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my story with food and what I did for me. This is basically what the video was about as well. And it seemed to help a lot of smokers because the issues are very, very similar. The feeling of a lack of control, the feeling of the cue trigger reward from the habit formed are all very, very similar. So basically, what I struggled with was when I was working as a teacher in London, there was a period of time when I really, really struggled with overeating, where I just couldn't seem to control what I was putting into my mouth in terms of I would eat healthy all day and then I would come home from school, I would sit and watch my favorite game show or TV show, and I would go through, you know, 100 or 200 grams of my favorite Dairy Milk Dime Bar was at the time. That I was eating, and I was doing this every single day after school. So basically, I'd come in at 5 p.m. by the time I got home, I would take the bar out of the fridge, or I'd stop in the shop on the way home, and I'd sit and watch The Chase or Pointless or whatever my favorite game show was at the time, and I would literally sit and just eat chocolate that night, and then I wouldn't go to the gym. I'd have good intentions, but never make it. And it was just something that compounded effect over time was starting to leave me out of shape because I was pulling from both sides. I wasn't training on one hand and I was eating, making poor food choices in the evening on the other. So it was leading to myself starting to get out of shape for the first time in my life. Now there was other issues. I was doing a job that the teaching job at the time wasn't one I particularly liked. I loved my last job. So it was so hard to leave when I actually went and started my business full time. But the job at the time I didn't like, so there was other issues there that I feel now I can look back and reflect on more. But what had happened most was I created a really, really poor habit. I literally had the association of those game shows, and it's funny because it's 4 or 5 years on now, and if I still watch The Chase or Pointless at that time of day, I get a chocolate craving because my body is so, my actual nervous system is so, has associated those foods with that type of show at that time of day that it's so still hardwired in me. It's funny, and only the fact that I'm self-aware of it is the reason that I don't actually fall for it now, because I know what's happening. But I realized that I had formed a really poor habit. So I just recently read Charles Duhigg's The Power of Habit, and he talks about the cue trigger reward on habits and how something will cue you or trigger you and then your habit will follow afterwards. So for me, it was the same time of day coming in and sitting in the same place, the same couch, watching the same shows and the same behavior. I'd eat my chocolate bars and my 100 or 200 grams of chocolate bar, and that was the reward, and was the serotonin and dopamine release of the chocolate. So it had formed that automatically I'd come home and it'd be 5 p.m. That TV show would come on. I'd sit in the same seat and I'd pull out a chocolate bar. That was the same thing happening day after day. So I realized from reading his book that you had to nip it. You had to change something in that cue trigger reward system. So what I started doing, and I trialed it first, was instead of going into the house when I'd come home, I used to leave my gym bag at the door. So as soon as I came home, I would open the door, I would throw in my school bag, take my gym bag, and I used to go straight to the gym. I used to even go into the kitchen where the chocolate bar was. I used to even go into the living room where the TV was. I would literally just take the bag and go to the gym. And I found that after about 7 to 10 days, this was starting to become the new habit. This was now the thing that I was looking forward to, because I changed the cue and trigger that I didn't go into this living room. I didn't take a chocolate bar and watch the TV. I took the bag, which was my trigger, and my reward was my serotonin and dopamine release from the gym as opposed to from a chocolate bar. So it was something that really, really helped me in terms of forming that new habit. And then obviously over, you know, a month, 2 months, I started to get back into shape. I started to have more energy because I was training again and eating less sugar, and I started to feel so much better. And it was funny because that was one of the things that put me on the path to more energy, which meant that I was able to run my personal training business at nighttime and work as a teacher during the day because I did have an increased level of energy. And it was something that had a compound effect, and it's probably led me to where I am now. And it was just a simple change. It was literally putting the gym bag by the door, making that the new trigger, and then getting myself to the gym. So in terms of finding a breaking a new habit or breaking an old habit or forming a new habit, your cue trigger reward, like find out what's the habit, what has pulled you in, what are you doing consistently, and what's the routine. You know, I've worked with people when they've told me their habits about eating biscuits or chocolate at, you know, 7:30, 8 p.m. And I was like, I bet you're watching your favorite show. They're like, yeah, I'm watching Coronation Street or Fair City or Skins or whatever the TV show is at the time. And I'm like, are you sitting in the same seat? They're like, yeah, I'm in the same seat. And they feel like I'm a bit of a, they're like, how do you even know that? And I'm like, because I did it. I've been there. I understand that that's how habits are formed. We do the same thing. We put things on automatic pilot. Like, how many times have you gone into your car and started driving to work on a Saturday because you've gone into autopilot? Your body will create habits, and it will do things because the less we have to think about things, the more we can focus on what's going on around us. And our body will create habits whether we know them or not. So what you want to do is make sure that you're in control of the habits you have, making sure that they're positive and that they're supporting you in becoming the best version of yourself, as opposed to them destroying your life like they were mine, where they were actually taking my energy. I was putting on more weight and I was getting out of shape, and it was just from a bad habit. So November is the perfect time because you don't have those other distractions. Like, ironically, the reason I remember this story was because it was around November that I did it. Because I remember the evenings were so dark, and that was one of my triggers, was dark evenings I associated with chocolate, watching my favorite TV shows because it was getting dark at about 5:30, 6 when they'd be over. And that was the association. So it kind of brought it back this week. So it's why I'm sharing it with you. So hopefully it'll support any of you going forward. And it's funny because even though this was down to like sugar and chocolate that I'd given up, the same thing applies for regardless of what your vice is. So if you find that you're a smoker and you're trying to give up cigarettes, or you're just trying to get into better shape from making healthier food choices, from avoiding fast and processed foods, the same thing happens. The same thing that hooks people into, you know, sugar addiction and that dopamine release in the brain is what's going to hook you to cigarettes. You know, it's going to be physiologically different because of obviously the nicotine and things like that, but the actual habitual things that get you into that state are going to be very, very similar. So you can actually apply all of these things to giving up anything, that cue trigger reward. Like, if you're someone that's battled with a vice for a while, whether it be cigarettes or sugar or fast food or whatever it is, I definitely recommend reading Charles Duhigg's Power of Habit. Like, I have the audiobook. It was the first audiobook that I ever downloaded. The first one is free. I always joke that Audible is like, you know, that they give you that first one for free, like a drug dealer would give you a dose of heroin for free, because I downloaded that first Audible book, and I've got, I think, 178 books or 179 books now in my Audible library, you know, over a 3 or 4 year period. So they got me hooked with that first one because I realized that that's how I learned better. Again, knowing yourself helps. The same when it comes to learning styles. If you find you learn better from listening, like I'm a listener, so I know I will retain way more information from listening to an audiobook than even reading it, even though I do read, you know, 3 physical books a week as well, as much as I can. But I will always have a preference for audio. Like, if I hear a great book, the first thing I'll do is go to Audible, check my audio, see if you can get it there. If you can't, then I'll order the hard copy, but I'll always go to the one I prefer first. That's just knowing myself and knowing that that's my preferred learning style. But it's the same way as you. You know, knowing yourself is going to massively help on your journey of giving up cigarettes or fast food or sugar, whatever it is. Like, for example, there are some people who will be a lot better giving something up cold turkey, and there'll be other people who are great at giving up moderation. And it's funny because if you're one of those people, if you're a cold turkey person or if you're a moderation person, you can't see how the other person does it. It's funny because I'm a cold turkey person. Like, I have to give things up cold turkey. If I'm giving up chocolate or sugar or ice cream or whatever, I give it up cold turkey, and I can't do the moderation thing. I just feel so much better not having a bit. Like, the only example I can give is, if you give up biscuits or chocolate and you have a small bit, do you find floodgates open, and then before you know it, the whole fucking bar is gone? That you're probably a cold turkey person then, because that's how I am. I can go 2-3 weeks, month, 3 months without sugar or ice cream, but if I get a taste for it, I find it really, really hard to control it. So I know that myself, I'm way better to just give things up and just not have any of them. But then there are people on the other side who can't give things up cold turkey, who can literally have, and you'll see, because you're either this person or you live with this person or you know this person, who can have a square of chocolate, put it back into the cupboard and keep it there. You know, if you're a cold turkey person, you're looking at them going, how the fuck do you even do that? You know, and it's the same way as the people that are moderation are looking at the cold turkey people going, how can you give it up for so long? I couldn't go a day without having it. So knowing yourself is crucial. Knowing if you're going to be better giving things up cold turkey or going to be better having them in moderation is going to be crucial for you. That's my little test for how you to determine which one you are. If you find that floodgates open when you have a small bit of something, you're a cold turkey and you're going to be better to give it up completely. Whereas if you find that you really, really struggle and you can have a square of chocolate or you can have a small amount of a certain food or you can have a small amount of something and be fine and not even think about it after you've had it, then you're probably going to be a moderation person. So knowing yourself is absolutely crucial in all aspects of life, but particularly when you're trying to support yourself with a new habit or break an old one, because you want to give yourself the most tools. Like, the reality is there's no point going to war with a bow and arrow if you don't know how to sling a fucking bow, you know? But if you're an expert, you know, bow and arrow person, you obviously want to have that as your tool or your piece of equipment. So support yourself by having the right tools, know what works well for you, and then apply that moving forward, because you're going to give yourself a much higher chance of success, a much higher chance of forming a new habit, or a much higher success rate of quitting an old one. Okay, the next thing I'm going to talk on, I'm not going to go too much into this because next week, the whole episode is based on how to get into amazing shape for the lead up to Christmas. So you'll be about 6 weeks out from Christmas next week. So I'm going to do a full episode on some quick fire ways to get into amazing shape, what nutrition tricks you need to do, training tips that'll help, and what supplements you can use so that coming into the Christmas parties, coming into the Christmas period, that you look amazing and you're in great shape because of the work you put in for November. But just for this week, if you can shift your mindset to realizing that this is probably the month that you can get into incredible shape because you don't have any distractions. You know, if you're somebody that doesn't have a vice, you don't have something you want to give up, or you don't have something that you need to add in particularly, and you just want to get into better shape, this is probably the best time of year to do it because you don't have the distractions. I know myself, summer's a great time because you can use the events and use them as motivation. But it, on the flip side, you're normally using them for events and festivals where you're going out and drinking and eating foods that aren't probably supplementary to your physique goals. So you get, it's a bit of a catch-22. You have the motivation, but you won't make the choices that are going to support your physique goal. November, you don't have those distractions. You literally have a month now, a six-week period, where you can just go at your training program, go at your nutritional plan, and add in your supplements to make sure that you're in amazing shape. So what I'd ask for the next 6 weeks, if you're looking to get incredible shape over November, stay tuned for next week's episode, and we'll talk more on how to get into incredible shape using different training systems, some nutritional tips that I use, and what supplements you'll use that'll support you best. But just realize that this week, this is the time to do it. Like, this is the month to get into incredible shape. Use that 4 to 6 week period in the lead up to Christmas where you don't have the distractions, you don't have the parties yet, you don't have the events, you don't have the festivals, you have the time to dedicate yourself to the training. I talk about it in last week's episode about the winter guide, how switching your training to the morning may help you. So if you haven't listened to the winter guide episode on how to get into great shape for winter, with the evenings getting darker and when you've got less energy because of the melatonin, overproduction of melatonin because of the shorter evenings, that your body thinks it's nighttime quicker so that you're way sleepier earlier, how to hack that system by sometimes just training first thing in the morning and getting your workouts done. So if you haven't checked out that episode, definitely check that out, because that'll support you, you know, even over this next week or so. And then next week we'll go into even more detail on what you should be doing for the next 4 to 6 weeks and some of the hacks and tips that I use to get into great shape for 4 to 6 weeks, or with anyone in my online program or any clients I'm working with. Because normally Christmas is an amazing time to set that target, because you're seeing people you haven't seen all year. You've got Christmas parties, so you want to fit into a dress that you bought, or you want to look, you know, better in your suit or your your tighter t-shirt or whatever the case may be, depending on your gender, depending on your goals, depending on your situation. So that should help. So stay tuned for that episode next week. Okay, a couple of questions sent in from Snapchat. So if you're not following my Snapchat, BrianK019, I open it up during the week so you can ask me questions back and forth, and all the podcast questions that ever come in are coming from my Snapchat. So make sure to follow me on there, BrianK019. This question comes in from Bear Rogers. Trying to break a habit of smoking when I drink, needs some sort of negative trigger. Okay, you've been definitely following my stuff for a while, because I'm always talking about triggers on my social media as well. That's a tricky one, because you've got your association. We've got in our brain something called an associative bias. It's we've got 25 cognitive biases. They're like automatic habits that we just have, that have developed and evolved over time, and the associative bias is one of them, which basically means where we associate one thing with another. So basically, the best example I can give as an associative bias is celebrities with, say, perfumes and deodorants, or supplements companies and athletes is associative bias. The reason they pay so much money for the athletes is because when you make the association with them, subconsciously you think that, well, if they use that, I'll look like them or have what they have. So you have an associative bias in your brain. But that works as well for something like alcohol and smoking. That one's a little bit stronger, because there's a physiological response that alcohol and cigarettes can have because of their actual physical addiction, physiological effects on the brain, particularly the nicotine in smoking. But what you've got to do there is, when your body goes into a state of making that association, it's very, very hard to fight it when you're already there. It's a case of prevention is better than cure in this case. So two things happen when you drink. One is you're having your alcohol and you're making the association with the smoking, which is making you want to have a cigarette every time you drink. And then the second is, when you drink, you lower your inhibitions, so you'll make decisions that you wouldn't normally make. And we've all done that. Well, we've done, I probably won't get into too many of my personal stories, where we've made stupid fucking choices, because we've let our inhibitions kick in, and we've made wrong choices with food or people or smoking or whatever the situation may be, because drink has had that effect on our actual decision making skills. So from that point of view, you're going to be at a losing battle, because inhibitions are going to be lowered. So what I would try and do, if it was me personally, is I first would be very aware that when you get into that loop of, right, I'm drunk now, I'm going to have that cigarette, you're going to have that association regardless. And prevention is going to be better than cure. So obviously, not going to a smoking area, not drinking the normal drinks that you drink, will help break that cue. So if you drink cider every night, you may be better to switch to another drink and try and form a new habit. Or more than likely, this association is so much stronger in people that have the same routine. So if you go to the same bar or the same club, it's really difficult to break that fucking routine, because that trigger's so strong, because it's automatic. You don't even have a choice, because your body, your cognitive bias, your brain will fall straight into it. So I would recommend you doing, even for just a couple of weekends, to try and break it. It's similar to the story I told, that I'm 4 or 5 years on, and if I still watch The Chase or Pointless or whatever it is at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, my brain wants something sugary for no reason, you know, other than the fact that my neurology and my nervous system has made the connection with the show and that dopamine release from the chocolate at that time. So, and I would consider myself very self-aware, very tuned into how my body is doing, and it still fucking happens to me. So it's a case that I would try and break the association with where you go. So if you find you go to the same place every weekend, it's going to be very, very difficult, because more than likely you're having your same drinks that you normally have, your 3 or 4 pints and your vodka Red Bull, and you're smoking every, you know, going to the smoking area. It's going to be very, very difficult to break that association. But if you change up the trigger, change up the scenario, and even bring yourself to a new bar, give yourself a new drink for the night, and then avoid that smoking area and say, I'm not going to the smoking area in this new place, that's going to give you a lot higher advantage of breaking that cycle. If you can do that for 2 or 3 nights and then go back to your old place, you can use some of that leftover, the same way as I hack the system now, where I feel that way even though I watch Pointless and The Chase. But I know that I'm like, well, this is just, you know, a cognitive bias. This is just my brain making my neurology, making the association with the show. And then it's easier to say no. But you got to do it. You got to give yourself some points of reference that you can actually do it. You can go to a club and drink and not have the cigarette and then try and carry it over into your normal routine, into your normal nightclub where you normally go. But just be aware that your inhibitions are going to be lower as well. So as soon as your inhibitions drop, you're going to kind of just say, you know what, screw it, I don't care. And that's a different thing that you've got to deal with. That's something you can't really fix, because that hints why alcohol will kill you that way, because you're not going to control your inhibition. So from that point of view, be careful. But in terms of actually kicking the habit and kicking the association, try switching up your club, switching up your drink. Don't go to that smoking area for two or three nights and then go back to your regular routine and use the last two or three weekends as a reference point that you were actually able to go to a club and not have that negative effect of smoking when you drink. Another example I can use is, there was a time when I couldn't go out to a bar without having a drink, because my association had, well, if I want to be sociable, I need to have a couple of drinks, you know. And I just thought that way, which is weird, because I've always been pretty sociable and I've always been able to talk to people. But for some reason, I had an association that when I went to a bar, I need to have a drink to be able to talk to people. When I started to cut that, I stopped going to bars for one, and then every once in a while I'd get pulled out by somebody and I wouldn't want to drink because I'd be driving. And then I realized that, do you know what, I'm actually the same person. I can talk without having two or three drinks. It actually doesn't make any difference. And if anything, I'm more coherent than if I had those few drinks. So now my new association is I can go to any bar or any club, not drink, and feel fine and be the same person, because I can change my physical state at a click of a finger. Not from alcohol, or just because I decide that, you know, I want to be here and I can make this conversation and I can enjoy this night out regardless. But that's something that comes from having reference points. Until you build enough legs on a table to make it sturdy, you need more reference points to draw from. So the more nights you can go out and not do that in a new place, the more reference points you'll have to pull, which means that you'll be much more, it'll be a lot easier to stay with it when you're actually out and about. Okay, question. This is a screenshot, so I don't actually have the name. I struggle a lot with sugar at certain times of the day, mid-afternoon especially. Any advice? Okay, in terms of habits, it sounds to me like it could be a physiological habit or it could be a mental habit, I'm not sure. If you've got everything covered from a physiological point of view and a physical point of view, so what I mean is your things like your meal timings, where you're eating every 2.5-3 hours, you're keeping blood sugar stable so that it's not a blood sugar issue, that you're not eating processed or sugary foods that are sending your blood sugars out of whack, which would be giving you midday cravings. You're eating good quality foods that are real and nutrient dense, so they're not processed. They're not, you know, shitty microwavable foods that are going to send your body into a state of fight or flight or make your body use more energy breaking the foods down, so that you actually have a reduction in energy leading to you needing something sugary midday to pick your energy levels up. Assuming everything is okay on that and that you're good from a physiological and a physical and a nutritional point of view, it can be just a case of the cue trigger reward, where you formed a habit that you need something sugary. It's really important to be self-aware on this, to realize that is it something that you're physiologically craving, that, you know, because your blood sugars are off, or because you've not had the right meals, or you've not eaten the right foods, or you've used sweeteners that have offset your insulin in your brain, leading to really bad cravings, which is something that I nip the first week in my online program, is I take away all the things that can cause food cravings, because it makes life a lot easier to stay on a nutritional plan and have a lot more energy and a better life quality when you don't have cravings at your door every, you know, 2 hours. So it's one of the first things I fix in my online program. But assuming that you have everything fixed from that point of view, it could be a case that you've just formed a new habit and an association, similar to what I said in the last question, an associated bias with that time of day, similar to what I had with the association with the TV shows. So if it's that case and it's an association you have, changing up the routine is massively going to help. So for example, if you normally reach for a chocolate bar at that time, try a hot drink and, you know, a handful of nuts. Change the actual thing that you're having. So you've identified that the cue or the trigger is the time of day, and then replace it with something else. You know, it actually takes 67 days to completely form a new habit and integrate it into your life, but you'll notice a difference after 7 to 10 days where it becomes the new norm. So if it's something that it's because it's a cue trigger reward issue, just change the thing that you're having. You know, change the sugar, the chocolate bar, whatever it is you're having at that time, to something else. A hot drink normally helps because it gives your body something very, very physical, a very physical stimulus that your body realizes it's getting something new at this time, and then it forms that habit quicker. But if it's something from a physiological or nutritional point of view, you got to get that fixed first, because that's number one. If it's off there, you know, it's like trying to build a house on sand. You know, you can build a great house, but as soon as wind or something comes, it's going to knock it all over because the foundation is shit. So you got to get everything fixed from a physiological point of view first, and a nutritional point of view first. And assuming then that you have all of these things in place, then it might be a case of just changing up the actual trigger or changing up the actual cue that you do. So having a different substance, like a, you know, a hot drink as opposed to a chocolate bar at that time might help loads. But it's, you got to be a little bit self-aware on this one and see which is, which sounds the most familiar to you, and then apply that. So hopefully that helps. Okay, everyone, that's another episode of the Branky Fitness Podcast. Again, I just want to say a massive thank you to the awesome feedback for the show. We've been flying on iTunes. It's been incredible. We were number 3 in all of Irish downloads for the last 2 weeks, number 2 in all of the health downloads on iTunes, which is absolutely incredible. It's nuts. I just want to thank everybody for downloading and listening, and for everyone that's given the show a rating. If you haven't rated the show, please give it a rating, because the more ratings we have, the more episodes we can push out. It's going up to 2 episodes a week because we've got so many ratings on iTunes. So the more ratings we can get out, the more episodes I can put out, and I can continue to do 2 a week and at least once a week. So I just want to say a massive thank you in advance. If you want to know more about me or follow any of my platforms on social media, head over to my website, www.briankeenfitness.com. That's where you'll find out about any of my programs. My blog is on there, so my weekly blog is up there. If you want to check out my social media, it's Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, Brian Keen Fitness, and then Snapchat, BrianK019, which is probably the best one to get me on. It's the platform that I'm using the most at the minute because it's the most interactive, where I can talk with people back and forth. So BrianK019, make sure to follow me on there. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys soon.